Preacher, you don't have to pay me for that. That's okay. Open your Bibles, please. Anywhere, it's all good, ain't it? Romans chapter 3. Now, I'm not kidding you, folks. I'm going to enjoy life. I'm like Brother Arthur. I'm going to enjoy life. Next time you go in a store and somebody says, can I help you? Say, I'm just shoplifting. Just say that. Go ahead and say it. I asked a fellow one time, I said, where's a good aisle? He said, oh, there's no cameras. Go over there. Go over there. I said, okay. You ought to enjoy living. Amen. You ought to enjoy living. And, you know, amen. I was in a place one time looking over some fishing equipment. Real preachers like the fish. They don't play golf. They fish. Now, I can make this long or short, whatever you want, folks. You can't fry a golf ball. You can't boil it. You can't make jambalaya out of it, but you can fish. So I was looking at some stuff, and a fellow walked up, and he said, you a salesman? I said, no. He said, well, you kind of dress like one. I said, that's all right. He said, you have a certain product? I said, mm-hmm. He said, how good is it? I said, it lasts forever. He said, well, it don't cost nothing. I said, no, it's free. He said, well, who you work for? And I said, God. He said, big boss. Boy, big boss. Amen. Are you in Romans chapter 3? Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. I'll read out loud if you'll read along in your Bibles, please. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is on their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, before I pray, I want to say once again, preacher, I appreciate the good room and the goodies in the room and the lunch we had today and the fellowship. And it's an honor for me to be here. And I want you to pray for me, and you can while I preach. You can pray in your heart. This got through describing us, folks, right there. And let's be honest. Look at that statement. You ever hear anybody say anymore, oh, so-and-so's got the fear of God in him? You don't hear it anymore. You don't hear many people say that's person spiritual anymore, do you? Now, I'm going to preach to you and then a little bit and give you the title of the message along in a second. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Sounds so small, so simple, for saving us, redeeming our sorry souls, dear God. And Lord, thank you for salvation so rich and full and free. Thank you for making us sons of God. And Lord, tonight, thank you for this good church and for the pastor and these good people. Thank you for folks that stayed last night, folks who cleaned the building. Thank you for the ladies in the nursery tonight, and they'll be in there a long time. God bless them. Thank you for them. And Lord, thank you for the wonderful hospitality that's been shown us here. And dear Jesus, thank you for America. Dear God, I read my Bible today that you gave a man named Abraham, a little boy, when he was 100 years old. His wife was 90. And I believe if you can do that, you can save a country. And as I read through the Bible, these great miracles and how you helped the kings of the Bible win great victories. And I know it's incumbent upon us to do what we ought to do. I believe America's sick, but I don't believe she's dead yet. And if meetings like this would take place all across this country, my, what a wonderful time and what a revival we'd have. Now, Lord, bless our preacher to come, anoint him greatly like you did last night. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, tonight, I want to say to you again, and I know who I'm preaching to, we're all sinners, folks. We're just sorry, no good for nothing, plain sinners is what we are. We're sinners saved by grace. We've been redeemed by the marvelous grace of God. And he forgave us all of our sins. Isn't that wonderful? I went to Bible college with a fellow, big old guy, who was a bouncer. Before he got saved, he had big old fingers. And one, we used to have testimony services on Monday in chapel. And the dean of the students got up and he said, now fellas, he said, I want you to finish this statement. He said, I thank God I'm saved. And he said, finish the statement. And this big old boy stood up and he said, I thank God I'm saved. And he didn't ask any questions. Amen. And so tonight we're just saved by the wonderful grace of God. Somebody said, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And God brought us into position of a son by giving his only begotten son to die for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Has that ever soaked in on you? He who knew no sin, never knew a bad thought, never knew an ugly thought, never said an ugly thought, became sin for us. That's amazing, folks. And listen to me tonight. The pure, spotless, holy Lamb of God who knew no sin was made sin for us. The only begotten Son of God who was laughed at, mocked at, lied about, and literally was called a bastard. That's what he was called. Because they said, we know who our father is, but you don't know who your father is. And he was kind enough and gracious enough, he could have called fire down from heaven on him right there, but he didn't do it. And he was crucified. He shed his blood just for me. We're all nothing. The Bible says we're sheep gone astray. God made us something. Next time somebody tells you, hey, do you know what my last name is? You just look at him and say, I'm a son of God. Amen. And tell them all about that tonight. And listen to me tonight. We were headed for an eternity in hell, burning, fiery hell. I'm talking about where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched, where people scream and they yell and there's no light and they gnaw on their teeth. And that blood that flowed down from Calvary, that pure crimson blood, found us, washed us, cleaned us, made us sons of God, and made us somebody. Our feet was on slippery ground. He put us on a solid rock. And he established our going, and we can look up tonight and say, thank God I knew who I am. I know where I'm going. I know who my father is. And we got a father that you can call on any time. You don't have to wait till a certain hour. You can say, our Heavenly Father, and he'll listen right then.
Amen.
Now, listen to me. I was sitting in a service back in 05. I drove up from Baton Rouge to Summit, Mississippi, right out of Macomb. Told Miss B, I said, I'm going up Brother Walker's tonight, just set and maybe be an encouragement. I like to do that if I can. And if I'm not preaching, I like to go to church. And I went up to Brother Walker's place. He's got Open Door Baptist Church up there in Summit. Good church, good guy. And I've been friends for a long time, and he's been through some difficult times, and I tried to help him. And I went and sat down. He's having a mission conference. And a young Baptist got up and preached, and he got through preaching. A young missionary got up, and he said, tonight, he said, I'm a missionary going to Ecuador. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please, while I'm talking to you. He said, I'm a missionary going to Ecuador. And he said, I was a foster child. He said, I was in 12 different foster homes. 12 different ones. He said, from the time I was born till I was 12 years old, he said, I was in 12 different homes. And he said, just about every person that I was in their home, they said, son, we really don't love you. We just have to put up with you. Now think about that. And he said, the last one I was in, the lady took me to church. And he said, I went to church with that lady, and he said, I was sitting there as a 12-year-old boy, and the preacher got up and said, God loves everybody. He loves little kids. He loves bootleggers. He loves gamblers. He loves old people. He loves everybody in the world. And he said, I'm thinking, nobody loves me. Nobody's ever told me they love me. And he said, I went back the next Sunday, and the preacher got up and basically said the same thing. He said, boy, God loves everybody. Loves old bootleggers, loves sinners, loves good people. He loves everybody. And he said, I'm sitting there thinking, nobody loved me. They always just told me they just putting up with me. And he said, man, I went back the third time, and he said, that preacher got up, and he said, God loves everybody, and he wants to save you and redeem you. And he said, man, I got saved. And he said, I'm on my way to Ecuador tonight. And he read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. And it says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Listen now, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now, I'm sitting on about the third pew back there, and here's what he said. I don't want God to waste his grace on me. I don't want God to waste his grace on me. And I'm not kidding you, folks. It was like I was the only one preacher in that building that night. And God looked at me and he said, son, have I wasted my grace on you? And I fell on my face. I don't care who was there. I don't care what was happening. And I said, oh, dear God, you saved me out of nothing. I was nothing. I mean, was going to hell fast as I could go. Don't have any pedigree. Don't have any background, anything. And you and your marvelous grace on a Wednesday night, 2 weeks before I was 21 years old, you saved me. And I said, oh, dear God, I don't want you to waste your grace on me tonight. And let me ask you a question. Has God wasted his grace on you tonight? You see, tonight, folks, we're going to stand before a holy God one day, and we don't really believe that. We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and Jesus is going to look at us, and I don't want him to say to me, Buchanan, I wasted my grace on you. I took you from nothing, going to hell, saved you, called you to preach, and you preach in places you never thought you'd preach in. I never thought I'd get on an airplane and go preach anywhere. Listen to me, I had the privilege of meeting Ronald Reagan when he came through Baton Rouge and talking to him for a little while, one of 50 men. And my ministry verse is Proverbs 18:16. I've met most of the great preachers across. And I'm talking about me, nothing, folks. Where I came from, if I said where I'm from, it's just a crossroad. I don't want God to say to me, have I wasted my grace on you tonight? Now you listen to me. The grace of God, you know what it is? It's unmerited favor. We do not deserve it. Amen. Listen to me. We don't deserve to be treated well by God. But grace by its very nature always flows down from God to the ungodly. You cannot add one thing to grace. If you do, it's not grace. Grace is not looking for good men to approve. It's looking for ungodly people. It's looking for guilty people. The Bible says where we were ungodly, the love of God was shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And God is looking for those kind of people to save and sanctify and glorify and take to heaven one day. Has he wasted his grace on you? How many folks talk to him today? Well, I ain't got time. You got time to get up and go hunting and sit on the deer stand and try to shoot a deer. His hormones are messed up and everything. Now, I'm not against that. I just don't have patience to do that. Hey, you got time to get up and go fishing? You got time to get up and say, we got to hurry up and go see Grandma. And when you get there, she says, looks like little old Slick here has got two teeth knocked out. Come on, folks. Now, you listen to me. If you want to, you can talk to God every day. I don't care what you say. If you really realize what God did for you, you can't go through a day without talking to God, without reading this book. And if you do, and if you don't feel guilty, there's something wrong with you. Do you realize what was paid if you could be saved? Unlimited favor. None too vile for God's grace. None too lost. None too bad for God to use. When I was in Bible college, was friends, they say, you know, birds of a feather flock together. If you look in the Bible, that's what it says. It said when they let Peter and them go, they went back to their own company, didn't they? And one of my best friends used to be a chicken fighter, and he used to hunt bears with a pistol, and he got saved by the grace of God. And another one, I hate to say this, was a hard, cold, stone Yankee. And we were all buddies, man. And listen to me. Let me tell you something. Those guys knew what God did for them. I knew what God did for me. And we used to make everybody else feel bad. But let me tell you something. We knew where we came from. We knew where we were going. And you listen to me now. It's all by the grace of God. Amen. Now let me give you 3 points in the poem. We'll put this airplane hangar and go to hell. You ready? Look back again at verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 15. Notice what Paul said. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So that means he was made by grace. Is that right? Take your Bibles. Let it do things through the Bible pages. And you'll get more than out of the yellow pages. Go back to 1 Timothy, please, chapter number 1. 1 Timothy, chapter number 1. And look in your Bible. I want to show you something here, what Paul said. And I don't have time to go through all the places where Paul talked about the wonderful grace of God. And 1 Timothy, chapter number 1. And if you will, please look down at verse number 12 for the sake of time. 1 Timothy 1:12. He said, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me to the ministry. Now watch this. Who's before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the what? Say it, folks. Grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant, which faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul knew that he was made by grace. And you and I tonight are made by grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at it again in verse number 10. And Paul said right here, but by the grace of God I am what I am. So he knew that he was made by grace. Now watch this. And his grace, which was bestowed, that word bestowed means given. And God took every one of us tonight and made us what we are because of the grace of God. So that was, Paul was made by the grace of God. Number 2, his message was the grace of God. He said to sinners like you and I, for by grace are you saved. Is that right? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. So his message to lost people was the grace of God. Now hang on just a minute, and I love this one, and so do you. His message to save people is the grace of God. Go over to the book of the Hebrews, please. The book of Hebrews in chapter number 4. Do you know it's scriptural for men to get up and make coffee of the morning? Because the Bible said Hebrews. You'll catch that later. Hebrew. Well, you'll remember that. By the way, I'm one of them. Now, I'm telling you tonight, Paul knew he was made by the grace of God, right? His message was the grace of God. To save people, to lost people, it was you're saved by grace, no works. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 4. Look at it right quickly. Notice what it says. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but when all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now watch this statement. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of what? Say it. That we may obtain what? And find grace to what? Help in time of need. That's to save people, isn't it? Boy, how many times have you needed the grace of God? Somebody said to me, I don't feel like I have dying grace. I said, well, let me stick a pistol to your forehead and you'll feel like you got it. Amen. You need grace every day to make it. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And you need the grace of God. And the grace of God is always just right on time. And so Paul said, I was made by grace. He said, my message is grace. And guess what motivated him? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice what this says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So he was made by grace. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Notice that statement. His grace which was bestowed, given, was not in vain. He didn't waste the grace of God. But he said, I labored. Is that what your book says? More abundantly. So what caused Paul to labor? What motivated Paul? It was the grace of God. That word labored there means that you work real hard and you work to the point of exhaustion. We had a fellow start coming to our church. Wonderful fellow. And I went by to see him and talked to him for a little while. Listen to me. He went to dialysis this morning. He went to dialysis Wednesday morning. He went to dialysis Monday morning. Three times a week he goes to dialysis. He grew up in a preacher's home. Rebelled. Turned away. And when he got this awful problem with his kidneys and starting to have to go take dialysis and folks, that's not fun. Most times his blood pressure drops to the point. And sometimes they scares him and they think he's going to die. And he says, don't worry, I know where I'm going. Don't sweat. Now you know what helped him when he came back and he came back to Central Baptist Church and he got his life right with God? It was the grace of God that was there. Amen. It was the grace of God. If it had been you and I, we'd have killed him and thrown him in the river. Amen. Now you listen to me tonight. Let me ask you a question. Did God waste His grace on you? You ever read where Paul said, I was shipwrecked? You ever read that? You ever read where he said, I was beaten? How many times, folks? How many times was he beaten? How many? Somebody tell me. Somebody knows. How many? Right? Listen to me. Where he got cold, he got hungry, he got naked, and all of that kind of stuff. What kept him going? It was the grace of God. You remember he said, dear God, would you take this thorn away from me? And he wasn't talking about being married either. He said, you know, when the wife's been married for 49 years, sweetheart? 48. It seems just like 5 minutes underwater. Now listen to me. Paul said, dear God, would you take this thorn away? And God said, nope. Dear God, you know what I've been through for you? He didn't say none of that. And that's what we say, you know. Well, somebody slammed the door in my face or somebody spit at me. No, not Paul. And afterwards, God said, my grace is. That's God's pain medicine for your soul. And one day you're going to need the grace of God more than you need $1 billion. I was pastoring Wichita Falls, Texas. We had a wonderful, wonderful older couple in the church. And one of their boys served God and the other one didn't. And the mama asked me, she said, would you go out and see my oldest son? And I went out to see him. Nice big old house. And had nice big cars. And I went in and was talking to him about the Lord. And he said, I don't need God, preacher. He said, man, he said, I'm making all kinds of money. And he said, look at this nice place I got. And he said, these cars I've got. He said, he said, my family's healthy. He said, I don't need God. And I said, buddy, one day you're going to need God. I said, one day you're going to need God. Amen. So I went away. He wouldn't let me talk to him. And it was the 4th of July weekend. And I was up about 6 o'clock one morning shaving and trying to get ready for the day. And the phone rang. And Miss B said, it's for you. And it was his mother. She said, I think my son will listen to you now. He's in the hospital. But it's not him. It's one of his daughters. This was on Monday morning. They'd gone out to a lake on Sunday, on that holiday. And his daughter ran out the end of a pier and dove in. And the sand had shifted up and the water was only about that deep. And she hit her head and it paralyzed her from here down. And I walked in there and he was sitting in there. And I said, "Bud, what do you need now?" I said, "What do you need now?" I said, "What's your money going to do for you now?" They told him she'll never walk again. He told me, now listen folks, this is over 30 years ago. He said, they told me she'll never walk again. He said, "It's going to cost me $5,000 a month. Just take care of her." You know what he needed then? He needed the grace of God, didn't he? Had a mother one time, was talking to Paul, said, "Preacher, you go see my boy. He's messed up on PCP, angel dust." And I went and knocked on his door, and he came to the door, and he had a big Harley motorcycle sitting out there, and he had long hair and beard, and he invited me in, and I said, "Ray Lynn," I said, "your mama wanted me to come see you." He said, "I don't need to talk to you, preacher." He said, "I don't want nothing to do with church." He said, "I don't want nothing to do with church." He said, "Church don't interest me anymore. Mama made me go when I was a kid." He said, "You see this good-looking girl here?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I've known her for a long time. She's my sweet wife." He said, "I got a black belt in karate." He said, "I'm going to go up to Colorado." And he said, "We're going to start a religion of our own." And I said, "I just want you to know, Ray Lynn, your mama loves you, son. She's praying for you." He said, "Matter of fact, preacher," he said, "just get out of my house. I don't want you in my house." I said, "Okay." And so I went, and then I had a missionary come through some months after that. He's going to speak for us on Sunday, and he said, "Preacher, let's go knock some doors." And I said, "I don't want to preach it for you in the morning unless we go knock some doors." And I said, "Okay." So I just didn't think about it, be on Ray Lynn Street again. Walked up, knocked on his door, and he came to the door, and he said, "Hey, preach." He said, "Get off my step, man." He said, "Now get off my step." He said, "You know," he said, "I told you I don't need what you got." I turned to leave, and I looked at him, and I said, "One day you're going to need God." He went to Colorado, took Julie's brother with him, took Julie, and he's going through this weird thing where he was the leader, and he had one of them old crooked kind of knives like you cut cane and stuff with, like that. He'd have them bow in front of him, and he was the leader, and he'd touch them on one shoulder, the other shoulder, and then he kind of creased their head. So he went to Bill, the brother, and he touched him on one shoulder. He's standing up him, touched him on his head and went the other shoulder. He went to Julie, touched on one shoulder, and that angel dust hit him, and he took it, and he took that knife, and he hit her as hard as he could right across her and split her head wide open. And she just fell out. And her brother looked at her, and it was horrible. He fainted. And he came to himself, Raylan did, and he scooped her up, and he went out there and put her in an old station wagon, and he was headed back to Wichita Falls, Texas. And Bill woke up, her brother, and saw the blood and the mire, and he called the state police, and he said, "Here's what happened." And he told them what kind of vehicle, and they started going down the road, and all of a sudden they saw out in the field a vehicle. And right before they went out in that field, Ray Lynn's driving Julie back, and she woke up, and she said, "Sweetheart, I'm dying." But she said, "You know that Jesus that preacher talked about?" She said, "I'm going to accept him before I die." He took her out. He had bow and arrow in the back of his station wagon. He took her out later in the middle of the road. And that PCP hit him again. He took an arrow and stuck it through her heart. Said, I'll deliver you. And stuck it through her heart. And that finished her off. And then he picked her up, took her over the side of the road and laid down. Finally, the state police came. They saw a station wagon. And he was out in the woods saying, "Kill me! Please kill me! I killed the only thing I ever loved. Please kill me!" And they walked up to him. They said, "Son, calm down." He said, "You don't understand. I killed her. I killed her. But from taking PCP and angel dust," he said, "I killed her." He said, "Shoot me." They said, "Son, calm down, calm down, calm down." They said, "How did that station wagon get out there in the middle of that field?" He said, "You don't know." He said, "On this stuff, you get free devils." He said, "The devils did that." He said, "They picked that car." Now, some of you don't have to believe that if you don't want to. You just read this book. He said, "Matter of fact," he said, "I can turn on rock music and put a sheet over my head, smoke cigarettes, and get almost the same sensation." And so they said, "Okay, son, don't say nothing now. Don't say nothing." I preached her funeral at the graveside. They took him to Colorado State Hospital. I got a letter from him. I got them in my briefcase, those letters right now, stacked about that big. In the first letter, he said, "Preacher, I wish I could talk to you now." And he said, "Preacher, would you please, every time you get a chance to preach to young people," he said, "please tell them what this awful stuff will do to you." He said, "I'm confined with every devil in the world." And he said, "They know I know them." And he said, "They had to put me in a different cell to keep them killing." You know what he needed then? He didn't need company. He needed the grace of God. You know what his mama needed? The grace of God. Has God wasted his grace on you? Has God wasted his grace on me? One day when we stand before him, and he said, "I was there in your darkest hour." Listen to me. You know why people go out here? I got a bus captain who's got to earn a PhD, and that don't mean post hole digger or poly high and deeper. He's got to earn a PhD in chemistry. Bus captain. You know why he goes out there and knocks doors and picks up those little kids? Because of the grace of God. Got two more that are engineers. You know why they get on those old buses when it's hot and when it's cold? And they get in later than everybody else on Sunday afternoon. It's amazing. Most bus captains never bellyache. They ain't got time. You know why they do that? Because of the grace of God. You know why these folks come around this church here and they teach Sunday school, they teach young people, and they love young people? It's because of the grace of God. You know why you reach down in your pocket and you give to God? It's because of the grace of God. Let me tell you something, folks. God did a wonderful thing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like us. I don't want God to look at me and say, "Buchanan, I wasted my grace on you, son." Most of you know the story. Brother Porter knows it particularly. There's a young lady named Melissa that watched some hoodlums in Africa beat her husband in the head with a rifle. Isn't that right? Turned it around. Grabbed it by the barrel and beat him in the head until they thought to kill him. His name was Vineyard, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
What's his first name?
Tom
Vineyard. You know what kept that lady going? You know what kept her going? That's the grace of God. Now, you can say, "I'm sorry." You know, one thing I don't like about funerals, you know, it's okay to tell people, "I understand." No, you don't understand. Till you walk in their shoes, and God made us all uniquely different. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to go home. You're going to go home. Then they're going to go home. They're going to go look at a chair where he's not sitting anymore. They're going to go look at a stove that she don't cook on anymore. They're going to look at a bicycle. I checked my voicemail today on my phone. Lady said, "Preacher, my little kids ride your bus. Their little 3-month-old brother passed away. Could you help us?" Now, you know what she needs now? She needs the grace of God. One day you're going to need the grace of God more than you need anything in the world. Has he wasted it on you? One of the hardest times of my life, there's been several, it's hard. What I'm telling you, turn to the book of Galatians, please, right quickly, and I'll be through. Look in the book of Galatians, please. One of the toughest times of my life, and I know this might not sound real to you, but it is to me. When a young lady named Carla Gomez went to heaven here a couple of years ago, I found out she was sick. I called Brother Keith, and he answered the phone, Brother Arthur, and all I could do was weep. I couldn't talk to him. Brother Keith Gomez didn't have any brothers, and I won't make the story long. He worked on our staff for a while. And Brother Gomez says, "I'm the only brother he's ever really had." And he answered the phone, and I just started weeping. I said, "Buddy, I don't know what to say." I said, "I can't say anything." I said, "I don't know what you're going through. It's not my baby that's sick, not my wife." And I said, "I'm not going to bother you. I just want to, when you can't make it, you call me." He took her to that hospital. Her legs were swelled that big. Wonderful woman. Yes, my wife, sweet little lady. I mean, a wonderful woman. And they did everything they could for her. And finally, the chief head of that hospital came down. And he said, I want to see this woman. He walked in and he said, Miss Gomez, we can't do anything else for you. But he said, I've never had a patient like you in this hospital. Never. He said, all my years of experience, he said, I've never had a patient like you. I want to know how you did it. And she said, God, through His wonderful grace, sir, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. And she said, the grace of God sustained me for all of this. Here's what Brother Gomez told me, Brother Fleur. He said, preacher, I want to make a passing grade in this school God's got me in now. He said, I want to make a passing grade. Then Miss Buchanan went up there, cold January, helped with a service, funeral service. And I, me and Brother Smith, Bob Smith is preaching, Brother Gomez got saved, and he surrendered to my ministry. And I got up and couldn't hardly say anything. And after service, I went to him and I said, buddy, you made an A+. You made an A+. And he did. And for a year, he went without her, did everything right. And you know what sustained him, folks? Yeah, the grace of God. One day you're going to need the grace of God more than you need anything in the world. Has God wasted His grace on you? You know, all three of my kiddos, just about the same old story, same as you, things just happened to them. And I've walked in the emergency room with them. Boy, it was sure good to have the grace of God there. In Galatians chapter number 2. Look at verse 21. I do not what? Say it, folks. The what? For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. But he said, those Galatians, I do not frustrate. The word frustrate means to cause to have no effect. Because they have no effect. That young missionary stood there that night. He didn't know I was there. But God knew I was there. And he read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. He said, folks, I'm going to Ecuador. He said, I don't want God to have wasted His grace on me. I was preaching somewhere. I don't remember now. And young man named Bobby Decker was there. Bobby Decker's brother, daddy used to pastor over here in Ocean Springs. And now he's worked with the Rock of Ages and he goes to the public schools in Louisiana as a missionary. Here's what he wrote after I got through preaching this message. God forbid that he should waste his grace. Up a lonely hill called Calvary, Christ took the rugged cross. The pain he bore, the crown of thorns, proved his love for the lost. Each drop of blood that fell over sin, he did prevail. What love he showed, what grace bestowed on this sinner bound for hell. This God of all the universe now holdeth me in his hands, a blood-bought sinner sanctified according to his plan. If he could come and die for me, then how can I live each day, each moment, each hour, my life to Jesus give? God forbid he should waste his grace on me. Unworthy of forgiveness, yet he died to set me free. I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. Indebted to the one who took my place. And God forbid that he should waste his grace on me. Let's pray. Father, let's pray. Father.